Yeah. Yeah. The Lakers lost to Oklahoma City again last night, Slee. What in the world? I keep waiting for the moment. I keep waiting for the, oh, there.
It will happen.
Fantastic.
It will happen.
I think so. I really do. I really do think so. But Knox Cruz just tweeted at us and says, the Lakers have become too frustrating to watch. I'm not at frustration. Mm-hmm. I'm at complete confusion.
Confusion's the right way to describe it. When I say it will happen, what I'm referring to there is it doesn't mean that you're not incredibly, you know, disappointed the way they kind of start off the season, the way they're losing other teams. But you just have to imagine at some point, and maybe it's not going to happen until LeBron gets back, but they had a very favorable schedule to start.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to change. It's not going to be a layup like it's been so far.
LeBron coming back will help. Mm-hmm. Duh, right? Yep. But LeBron's played in some of these games. It's kind of looked the same. It's not that when LeBron is there, everything is, you know, puppy dogs and rainbows. It's when LeBron's there, it's better, but it's not a ton better.
Which three games did he miss? So he missed the game against the San Antonio
games.
Spurs,
yeah.
Oklahoma City, and Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
So that means the other six games that he was in, and Lakers are 2-3 when LeBron wasn't in those games. Then,
yeah, LeBron helps. Let's not get it twisted, but it's not that when LeBron is there, everything is right with the world.
Right, there wasn't a 20-point difference or something.
No, yeah. And I know that it's very easy, and I'm looking at Twitter and I'm looking at some of these phone calls that we'll get to in just a second. It's very easy to say Russell Westbrook launched a brick at the end of the game. And he did. I get it. And he's not the guy that I want taking that shot, and he's probably the exact guy that Oklahoma City wants taking that shot. But it was what you've been saying all morning long. Why did it come down to we needed a 7-second possession at the end of the game with no timeouts left against a team that's only won one game all season long to win or tie or go to overtime against that team? And it's not as easy as Russ turned it over near the end of the game. It's not that.
Do you remember when Lakers lost the first game against the Thunder? So about a week and a half ago. And they were down three. It's kind of funny. It's actually a similar position Lakers win. They're down three on the road in OKC. Russ pulls up and takes an ill-advised, I think 30 seconds left on the clock. Lakers got lucky. They grabbed the offensive rebound, then called timeout. So it was like, okay, well, Russ took a bad shot. Then Malik Monk comes out of a timeout, goes isolation, takes a 25-footer, airballs it. It's like, what the heck? That's the call you had at a timeout? But I was going back to that. There's kind of a similar scenario. Yeah, you can analyze the last 30 seconds of the game, but why are the Lakers in a game like this against a team that's a lottery team and they had a 26-point lead, they had a 19-point lead? That brings us to today's stat hero of the day. You know what it is?
Melo.
0-2 against the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's the stat hero of the day. The Lakers have played
heroic.
Them twice.
Yeah.
And in both of those games, they've obviously lost. Carmelo Anthony, by the way, just to hit off of that, 4 games this season with 5 3-pointers, including last night. 5 of 10 from the 3-point line. Stat Hero, the exclusive daily fantasy app partner of the Travis and Sliwa Show. We greatly appreciate their partnership. Stat Hero is the first ever daily fantasy sportsbook that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN for a 100% deposit match.
I want to get to these Laker calls in just 1 second, but let me put this another way.
Okay.
What's gone really well for the first 9 games of the season? Give me the high points.
Carmelo.
Yep.
I think times, I'm probably, you know, trying to find this one, but I think at times you could see how Russ will have his impact all round game down the road.
Okay. That feels like you're really working hard on
that
one. Because Russ, at best, so far, Russ has been a mixed bag.
No, but
there's been good,
there's
been bad.
This is what I mean. There have been games where LeBron will have his 15-8-8,
mm-hmm.
and I've come in here and I've told you, Russ had a better. Statistically, how can someone have a better all-round game than LeBron in a game?
Yeah.
Russ has had a couple of those.
Statistically.
So that's what I'm referring to when I say that. And he'll have a night where he shoots awful from the field, and then the next night he'll go 6-12. So there's a little bit of, you know, some positivity there. After that...
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But that's the reality.
There's just the one thing that I think every Laker fan would agree on has been a high point. Melo's been really good. His shooting has been on point. He's fit in really well. Melo's been great.
Too many after that.
No.
It's a big drop-off.
What has not gone well? Everything other than that. their health has been spotty. You know, and I'm not just talking about LeBron. You look up and down the roster, that Ariza's gone down, THT's gone down, Nunn
AD
has gone
already,
down.
Kind AD's of some bumps and bruises.
Got a thumb last night after having the other thing the other night that he's had his little bumps and bruises, like you've said. The defense has been bad. The fit so far, I'm conceding that it's a so far, the fit has been odd. At best, odd. At worst, bad. So you put all these things together.
I mean, I think
coaching has been
too.
Uneven as well. It's just that it's really hard to just completely flush these first nine games and say, ah, there's a ton of time left. There is. I get it. We're 10% of the way through the season. They got 90% left to go. But you can't tell me that when just about everything looks less than you were hoping, that everything's fine. And I think that there are some Laker fans out there like, no, 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 it's good. As long as it's good in April, May, June, okay.
You know what I do?
But come on,
can
man.
Can I tell you something? When I'm feeling down, I usually go to Manuel and Gardena because I feel like Manuel,
very positive.
He's the only one that can kind of get us out of this funk. Manuel, what's going on? Appreciate you calling in.
Hey, fellas, as usual, you guys are fantastic on a Friday. Real quick, ask Sleep. It deeply disappoints me that you're campground guy because I'm more of like Travis. If it's not a hotel room at the end of the night, I'm not in.
Man, well, let me tell you something, man. If I could get you and Trav and we're both sitting around chilling in front of a campfire, you have a beer, I have a beer, Trav has a beer.
Together, but, no thanks.
But here's the thing. I'm okay with having beers with you. I've had beers with Manuel. I've had beers with you, Al. Yeah. I'd like having beers with people.
You just want to take a shower and go to bed.
I just don't want to do it in the woods.
Exactly.
So let me tell both
so what?
Manuel, you and Trav, you're not invited anymore, okay? I'm taking away the invite.
Hey, no, hey, we'll be at the Holiday Inn like a mile away, chilling in the jacuzzi. So don't worry about us.
Well, and easy, Manuel. I don't public jacuzzi. That's not something that's happening.
Streaming a movie. You guys will be just on the internet. I have no service a mile and a half away.
Hey, so real quick, if you're in that campground, since you're Mr. Slee, you should be aware of your surroundings. What would you rather go up against? A pack of wolves infiltrating or one bear? Okay? That's for the Ask Slee afterwards pondering.
Yeah.
Now, let's get to the
by the way, Manuel, I already have an answer. It's an easy one. The bear's going to take me out quicker. So let the bear just do its work. I feel like the wolves will, they'll be very strategic. They're like, let's not take them out right away. They hunt in packs, like you were going to say.
Pack hunters are terrifying.
Yeah, that's not good. Give me the bear 15 seconds later,
we're
done.
Do work on a lion? That's the scariest damn thing in the universe.
Hey, I'm telling you, see, that's why I'm not camping, guy. I ain't going up against a pack of wolves or a bear or even
Rob,
deer.
Not in Alaska.
I mean, I'm good, man.
Not that big bear.
Hey, so as far as the Lakers, I think you guys are becoming the panic posse overnight. I mean, we got to remember that this is the 65% of the squad that's suiting up every night, that Russ is in his first nine games of the tenure, which – one other thing that I hate about NBA preseason, why the hell is it like one game in Hawaii, one game in Idaho, one game in man, do the damn games where they're going to play. So anyway, that's a whole other story. But guys, I do think we need to calm the brakes. You know, we need to pump the brakes.
Okay.
The Lakers are going to be fine. And to go on this, why is OKC beating them? How about when we had those garbage Laker teams that were winning 20 wins a season, yet we went out like two of those wins would always be against Golden State?
Yes. No, you bring up – there was saw it on Twitter earlier, Manuel. Thank you for the call. Bobcats with the Lakers. Remember the Lakers couldn't beat the Bobcats? When the Lakers were really, really good, they had an issue with the Bobcats. If the Lakers were looking great and just couldn't beat OKC, it'd be one of those, well, that's weird. That's not what this is. So I think that's the difference here. The other difference is, and he said it's only nine games. Manuel, you're right. And you all said, I think that you believe that they're going to be fine. You very well may be right about that. It's the opponents, Manuel. It's the opponents that they've played that have me feeling the way I do. Had the Lakers looked disjointed, like they didn't fit together, missing shots, poor defensively, and just couldn't get over the hump and had blown a big lead against
Utah.
Brooklyn or Utah or Denver or Phoenix or Miami, Milwaukee, yeah, sure, I get it. They're a work in progress. For the vast majority of their first nine games have come against really bad teams. Two against Houston, two against Oklahoma City. Memphis is maybe slightly above average, but not a ton above average. San Antonio is below average. Phoenix, really good. Golden State, really good. It's the opponents. It's not just what the record is. It's what the record is and what it looks like because of the opponents that they've played.
All right, let's go to James in Torrance. James, appreciate you calling in. You're on the Travis and Sliwa Show. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, James. Thanks for calling. What'd you think this over or so far over these nine games?
I love the Lakers, but they look average. We have a lot of stars on paper, but I think if you think of the game last night, Russ went on a three-point barrage, and he looked very relaxed. The shot came out of his hand relaxed, but when it got real tight, then his shots were clanking off the rim. There was a point when Carmelo was knocking him down too, and he was looking for the ball. Russ was on the edge, on the three-point line, and he didn't even look at Carmelo. I don't think it was anything malicious. I just think he didn't look in his direction, and Carmelo waved his hands at him. Toward the end, that last shot, I don't blame Russ for that because they double-teamed Carmelo. He couldn't get the ball. Time was running out. But Russ needs to stop shooting so many threes. He needs to slash and get near to the basket. I think we'll be better after that.
Thanks, James. I think that he's right about that. I don't think Russ does anything that's malicious. I don't think he's out there saying, oh, I don't care. I'm taking this. I want to win the game.
He wants to win.
He wants to win.
Yeah.
But he also has that thing that great players have where, what's the best way to win? Me. You know, Jerry Rice wanted the ball. You know, Randy Moss wants the ball.
Sure.
They come in and give me why not? Why wouldn't you throw it to Randy Moss? Russell Westbrook believes that the best chance for him to win the game is by him trying to win the game.
Do you feel like he felt that way? Because I don't. Do you think he felt that way in that last possession?
I do.
You really do?
I do. And I don't think it was done out of anything other than, I think I'm going to make this shot. I think I'm going to make this shot. Now,
I think he was put in an incredibly tough position. That's not to negate the turnover. That's not to negate the bad defense on Dort. You're going to double Shai Gilgeous. Like, I don't understand what he was doing there. It's also not to negate him taking a three and the Thunder saying, sounds fantastic.
A good case, Al.
But if Carmelo's open at the top of the key, he's passing him the ball.
That's the part where I don't agree with that.
Guys on Carmelo.
I agree. I know that Carmelo was covered, and I'm not saying that he should have thrown it into a guy that's got two guys on him. I understand. What I'm saying is I'm not so sure that ball goes there even if he is open. I don't know. Maybe – I don't know. That's the thing with Russ. This was the beginning of my hesitation when this trade was announced. He plays one way. He is 1,000 miles an hour. He's incredibly intense. He's unbelievably competitive. He's a fantastic player. But this is what he does. This is what he's done for more or less his entire career. And I'm worried that when LeBron is out there, you said it, well, he wouldn't have the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
I hope not. I'm not convinced yet.
But you know what the problem is? The problem is if we're walking away from last night's game and all people are going to talk about is Russell Westbrook towards the end of the game, I really think we're missing the whole thing.
I disagree.
Really do.
I've been saying that all day. Mm-hmm. This is not a Russ thing. There was some rough Russ moments towards the end of the game. It's a Lakers thing. Lakers have played poorly just about every game they've played this season for stretches of it. Now, they've won a handful of them. Mostly because they're playing bad teams. But this is not a Russ is killing them. This is the Lakers don't look
collectively.
Good. This is a Lakers don't look good thing. Let's try, what do you want, Slee?
Let's go Chris and Gardena. Chris, what's going on? You're on the Travis and Sliwa Show.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hope you guys are having a great day.
Thank you, man.
My thoughts on this, man, is that I think it begins with the coach. I think it begins with Frank Vogel. I think it begins with him in preseason. I think that, you know, when you watch the Lakers during preseason, everybody's laughing, joking on the bench, like, you know, like, oh, yeah, we know we're the Lakers and it's not going to be a problem. But I think that Frank didn't really drive into these guys that, look, you guys are million-dollar young men, but, you know, you guys will have to get on it. Like, I don't think Steve Kerr, I don't think Mark Jackson, I don't think Phil Jackson, any of them would have had those guys, you know, with the mindset that they have. And I think they need to just, like you said a little while ago, they need to tighten up and tighten it up quick.
Chris, appreciate you calling in. Can I say something? I think there is something about coach. You know, we're talking about the players. We're talking about how they're playing. We're talking about their performances. We're talking about them kind of holding them responsible. Coach as well. I hated hearing yesterday, well, you know, the lead was early and, you know, you're up 19 points. Take a listen to this.
Well, they're going to keep playing. The NBA game is a long game. Early leads don't really mean anything in the modern NBA. You know, you got to keep playing. We learned that lesson last week.
No, you didn't.
But they made their run in the second quarter, and, you know, it's a 48-minute game. You got to play four quarters.
What I wanted to hear, what I was hoping to hear is, yeah, you know, we dropped the ball again. This can't happen. That's on me. You know, I cannot have our team. I'm responsible for them, even if it's just talk. I'm as responsible as anybody else blowing that 19-point lead, that 26-point lead. But he said something. Chris said something about, you know, the players joking around during the preseason, not really paying attention to the preseason. That's on the players. These are not 18 and 19-year-olds.
I'm not cutting anybody off on that. The players are certainly responsible for it as well. It's everybody.
What I'm saying is this is not a team that was – Dwight Howard's been in the league for how long? DeAndre and Rondo and like Kent Bazemore and Russ.
You're not wrong.
If they want to approach the preseason one way – that's okay because they're all vets, but at the end of the day, it's, you start the season, they still look like they're kind of playing preseason basketball.
But if you've seen your vets and your veteran guys that you're talking about going through it for a while, at some point it's your responsibility to get them to snap out of that.
You're going to tell LeBron James or Carmelo Anthony?
I'm not saying it's an easy job. I get it's a super difficult job, but if he can't tell them anything, then why have a coach at all?
That's not the point. The point is that it's these players have been around the league for so long. Get the ups and downs. They get the grind of the 82. They get what happens when you play a bad team like the Thunder and you go up big that they could potentially come back. There's also mistakes that are happening. It's like a vet team shouldn't have mistakes like this.
I agree, but just because they're a vet team doesn't mean that the coach doesn't
have
some responsibility. They have to have somebody that's saying, guys, I know you've been in this league for 20 years, but you're not doing this right. Here's the right way to do it. You know the right way to do it, but you're not doing it. That's something that needs to happen as well. Lots of phone calls to get to. And here's the other part, Al. We haven't even mentioned something that has nothing to do with what's happening now, but might have something to do with what happens coming up next. Straight ahead, it's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You got better mechanics than SGA on that 3-point shot, Lee. Are you more SGA?
Klay is arguably the greatest shooter of all time. So
yes.
I will never.
No. I'm not talking about I'm just saying mechanically. Like, do you look, because SGA
elbows
look,
in
shot went down.
Elbows in, follow through is there.
Yeah.
What I don't do, and I never have in my life, you know, real shooters, mm-hmm. they use their legs.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of work.
What do you mean, get off the ground?
You want me to – it's one of my favorite lines from the movie Major League, uh-huh. right? You know, when Roger Dorn, their overpaid third baseman, what do you want me to do, dive for it? It kind of encapsulates my entire existence. Like, what do you want me to do?
You got to bend your knees more. What do you mean, bend my knees more?
What if somebody saw me trying? Well, how bad would that be for my look?
Upper body. Everything.
Just kind of overhead press.
Yeah, this is all upper body.
Oh, no doubt about it. So you've got no game tonight. You've got
no game
tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But what do you got going for the weekend? You got anything good? You and Lady Slee have plans?
Do a little Spectrum tonight.
Okay.
Do a quick little TV Laker action right there.
It's good. I'm glad for you. Happy for you. But you're no longer allowed to complain about your work schedule, because if you're taking your night off to go talk more about the Lakers, that's your problem.
Okay, here's the thing. You can't really kind of, you know, I'm not going to say no. It's not like those are there every day. So you certainly take that opportunity. That's number one.
Uh-huh.
But right after that, going to do some dinner at a nice Italian restaurant, do a little, just going to load up on the carbs for the marathon that I'm not running.
Do you like Michael Scott in The Office eating the fettuccine Alfredo, just shoveling
that
it down your gullet?
The most underrated scene in The Office of all time. There's so many good ones.
It's dripping in cream sauce. It's so gross.
Oh, he is so good.
So Tommy Lasorda.
And then Saturday the game, and then Sunday we'll do a little SoFi.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a good weekend.
Tommy Lasorda, RIP, used to come in and host the Jim Rome Show when Jim was off and I was working there. And Tommy would come in and, you know, Tommy had an appetite. So we would always make sure that Tommy was fed. And it was, I loved it because that means we're getting enough for everybody, right? Everybody's going to eat. And so there was an Italian place in the bottom of the building where we worked.
Oh, that's dangerous.
And it was good. It wasn't like next level greatest Italian, but it was perfectly fine. And we would always have somebody order kind of just a little bit of everything, right? And so Tommy would do work on the food, and there was one little of the, you know, the takeout things, the foil with the paper to peel the edge back, and one of them had fettuccine Alfredo in it with the chicken and all that stuff. And Tommy was so disgusted by it. He's like, "Real Italians don't eat that. Like that's not a real Italian thing." He would only go with the more traditional thing. That's Americanized.
Do you remember
Italian.
That old commercial? It was like, I don't know how long ago it was, and it was like this Italian family, and they're all sitting at the table.
Abbondanza!
And, hey, oh, hey, doing all that. And it was a commercial for Olive Garden. It was this like, hey, it's the most authentic thing here. This is what we do in Sicily. Could I get the
8 quarts of cream? I don't think that's how that goes. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Lakers lost last night, and let's put that aside for a second.
Want to know the schedule coming up?
Not quite yet, but yes, I do. LeBron's going to be out for, air quotes, at least a week. I'm not going to try to spin. I'm genuinely worried about this. This has my full attention because LeBron is remarkably durable, has played virtually every night. You know, I know that load management is part of the modern NBA.
It's LeBron, his 63rd season.
I get it. And I'm not saying it's anybody's fault.
He started playing in 1964.
He and Cousy were wicked together in the backcourt. It's nobody's fault. It's not LeBron's fault. It's not the Lakers' fault. It's time.
Yeah.
Undefeated, right? And once it starts to happen, and you said it a minute ago when you went through some numbers about how often he played in Cleveland and then in Miami and then in Cleveland the second time and now here with the Lakers. LeBron was basically indestructible in Cleveland both times and in Miami. He came to L.A. and he had the groin strain and he missed some time. Then the next year was the pandemic year, which I think in a really odd way allowed him to be at his absolute best because they shut down, you ramp back up. It's a relatively short period of time. You kind of sprint to it and they win the title. Now you come back again, and last year he had the ankle thing. I know somebody crashed into him, but he still missed a bunch of time. And now this year, we're already at a point where he's going to miss at least a week. This is how it goes. It would be disingenuous to say, oh, that'll heal and he'll be back and he'll lead LeBron. I hope so, but I don't know, man, because this is how these things go.
Well, you brought up something, you know, very early on. I think you said this a couple days ago. The thing that worries you about LeBron is we're 9 games in, right? So it's the fact that that's when you're supposed to be your freshest. This is when
off of his longest
you came
off
the offseason and you had an opportunity to kind of regroup. And that's not just Bron. That's also Anthony Davis. He had a lot of bumps and bruises, you know, obviously in that playoff run. So with all that being said, listen, I think it's fair to say there's some concern here of what will, you know, how will LeBron's body do this year? Why not? Of course it's going to be. And I think they're going to also be incredibly cautious knowing where he is at this stage of his career. And, you know, we'll take it from there. But, you know, obviously no timetable of maybe it's a week, maybe it's like, I have no idea. So we'll just wait and see. Okay, schedule coming up.
Yeah.
So up to this point, 9 games into the season, the Lakers have had the easiest schedule 9 games in. So at some point that's going to change. Tomorrow, let me go through the next few games for the Lakers, okay? They have the Portland Trailblazers tomorrow. After that game against the Portland Trailblazers, which this game is at the Moda Center, you and I already talked about, it's a tough place to go in at. I don't care that Portland's not that good because they're not that good, but it's a tough place to win. Portland's just lost 3 games in a row on the road.
Always struggled there.
They're going to be desperate. They're going to need a win just like the Lakers. So you're at Portland tomorrow. After that, Charlotte's a up-and-coming, a team that's
better than OKC, better than Houston.
They have been. That's going to be at Staples Center. Miami Heat might be the best team in the NBA, other than when I said that, and then Boston spanked them yesterday in Miami. That did not help my argument. After that, you got the Minnesota Timberwolves, then the Spurs, then the Chicago Bulls. So after the game against Portland, your next 5 games back at Staples Center, 12 of the first 15 games you play this year are all at Staples Center.
Yeah.
these next five games you play, or six games including Portland, now you're starting to play 500 teams. You're starting to play teams that are over 500. You're starting to play teams that could represent the Eastern Conference in Miami. You're going to start playing some better teams, so the competition's going to get better. That's my curiosity on the Lakers. You played bad teams. You clearly played down to your competition. We're hoping they played down to their competition.
That's the best-case scenario.
So now when you start having tougher games, let's see how the Lakers kind of handle this. Once that stretch is over of the 12 of the first 15 at Staples Center, you're at Milwaukee, you're at Boston, you're at New York, you're at Indiana. You're going to start playing some games that all of a sudden, none of these games are gimmies. And even the games they've played so far obviously haven't been gimmies.
Yeah, it's been a really confusing early part of the season. It's not a catastrophe, but it's been far less than expected and really confusing along the way. Let's go to Curtis in Santa Ana. Curtis, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's going on, Curtis?
Yes, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I just want to say is, good morning, Travis.
Hello.
Lakers are getting beat in three phases of the game. Number one phase is coaching. Not wrong combinations. Non-offensive players on the floor at the same time. Overplaying some players, not resting properly. Second phase is turnovers. Lakers are turning the ball over, forcing the ball when not needed, trying to force the pass. And the last phase is defensive assignments. I mean, the players really don't know, they're like, they don't have no scheme. They're just scoring, and here's get a man. And then teams are just basically going right at them, up the middle, in the bucket.
Appreciate you calling in. Thank you, Chris. We want to kind of squeeze a couple more calls in here. Jason in Downey. Jason, what's going on? You're on the Travis and Sliwa show.
So I was at that choke job of a game last night, and I can honestly say with my whole heart, the greatest moment of that whole game for me was Big Al taking a selfie with me, so I appreciate it very much. Thank you again. I'm frustrated, guys. Westbrook has looked pretty good. These were supposed to be the get-right games and the games that Travis come in and said, you know what? The fit's still not that perfect, but now I see why we got him. And everyone wants to bag on him, like, oh, it's his fault. Big Al, you said it best. They should have not have been in a one-possession game with them. Same with Houston. They should have not been a missed three-pointer away from thinking, oh, God, we have a real problem. So they need to get their act together. But like you guys said, I'm panicking and I'm frustrated. Have a great day.
Thank you, yep. Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
What are we doing on a Friday? We're sending people, like, we're supposed to kind of calm them down. They're all walking into Friday.
Wrong.
They're walking into a local CVS asking for a pack of
Marlboro Reds. Yes. Travis Slee's brought you by Goodyear.
Trying to enjoy my weekend.
With you for every mile on the road to greatness, Goodyear, more driven. How much did you pay that guy to have him call you Big Al three times? Are you trying to make that a thing on the show?
$75. $75.
Look, it's not Russell Westbrook's fault. Mm-hmm. I hope that no one's taking that away, that that's my takeaway. It's not. I don't think I've come within 100 miles of saying that.
It's flashy to say. I think people like saying it. And if you look at the last 30 seconds of the game, he was involved in plays that,
Have at any point in the start of the season, have I said that Russell Westbrook is the reason the Lakers are not playing well?
No, you haven't.
Okay. I didn't think so. I just want to make sure that that's what I'm actually coming out of my mouth. But it is a Laker problem. Russ is one of the issues that I think is going on with this team, but he's not the only issue. I still think that one of the things, and you can't point to a statistic other than maybe the free throw issue that you mentioned the other day. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a ton of things you point at with Anthony Davis statistically and say, oh, rebound the ball more, block more shots, you know, score more points. It's not that, but if you watch these games, like, dude, can you just end this? I thought you're one of these guys. And it's just not happening.
You want to feel their presence, yeah. Right? Some of these other guys, you definitely want to feel their presence. All right, more of your phone calls when we come back. We'll get a chance to just really quickly, Chargers, Raiders, got some big games in the AFC West this
Von
weekend.
Von Miller, baby.
Von Miller for the Los Angeles Rams, so we'll hit on the NFL as well. 877-710-ESPN if
That's
you want
right.
to be a part of the show. Stay right here. Travis and Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pretty excited to have been at that In-N-Out last night. Got to hang out with my son, some of his friends. Went to a CIF high school football game last night. It was awesome. Did a little In-N-Out post game.
Did you cover it?
No, I just watched.
Do you feel like any sporting event you go to now, especially like football related for you? Well, you know, we'll talk about that at halftime.
Yeah, I don't know if Dana Hill's football was really a halftime sort of show. They lost in overtime. It was a great game.
Dad, why do you have a notepad with you?
I was that sad guy because, you know.
And why does it say presented by Hyundai?
So I take the kids to the game. They meet up with some of their other friends, and they're in this little pocket in the stands. And I'm not an idiot. Well, I might be an idiot, but I'm not an idiot about this. I know not to go sit next to my 15-year-old son and his friends. I know that's the last thing they want. So I picked a different spot, you know, kind of sort of near them because I wanted to see the game, but not so much that I was involved in their conversations. And apparently I was too close because they very quickly relocated after they saw where I sat down.
Too close.
Got a nice interaction with Brandon, who works for the gas company. He introduced himself last night at that In-N-Out. So, Brandon, if you're driving around listening to you, thanks for that. And if you see Slee, you should make sure that you say hello to him as well.
Okay, I got a post I'm going to read here real quick.
Okay.
Right, on Instagram. So, Von Miller put out a quick happy birthday message to Odell Beckham Jr. I love you, man. Come to the Rams so we can chase the ring together. That's what he put on there. Yes, Beckham still has to go through waivers.
Uh-huh.
So that's got to get itself figured out. What do you think of Von Miller recruiting OBJ?
I like that Von Miller feels like he wants to bring more good players to the Rams. I love that idea. I think that Odell Beckham Jr. would be a terrible idea on the Rams.
Really?
Yeah. I don't see where the need is. And because, look, what was his problem? Why was Odell Beckham so unhappy in
Cleveland? Getting the ball enough?
Right. You going to throw him the ball instead of Cooper Kupp? No. You going to throw him the ball instead of Robert Woods? No. Is he going to be happy being the third wide receiver? No. What happened last week? Uh-huh. DeSean Jackson is now a free agent because he said, hey, why don't I get the ball? And the Rams said, you know what? You don't have to be here anymore.
Odell different,
like
right? Odell different just because of age he's still has the, you know, still would have the ability to contribute.
Really? Are we sure about that?
I think so.
When was he last an impactful player in this league?
With the Giants?
Right. This is my point. Like this.
Okay, so what is he? He's all name? He's not?
I think he is. Hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's not a bum. He made one of the greatest catches you're ever going to see.
Put that aside.
He had a couple of very productive seasons in New York.
So you don't think he can help the Rams?
That's not the right question. Is he a good fit on the Rams is the right question. Would he make the Rams better on a piece of paper? Yeah, he's a name that could do some stuff. The Rams do not need another guy who has to have the ball.
Okay, so what if Odell Beckham Jr. says, hey, guys, listen, I just want to chase a Super Bowl. I know what you guys are building here. I know Von Miller just came over. He's a buddy of mine. Any way that I can help, I know I could still be a threat, especially because you have all these other threats on your team. I'm here, whatever you need.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, that's probably what you said to Cleveland, right?
And he got traded to Cleveland.
No, I get it, but he wants the ball. I'm not going to do what people tell me. I'm going to go by what they do. And what Odell Beckham has done is been terribly mediocre for the last couple of seasons and apparently was such a problem to have around that they decided, you know what, you should just go home. I don't need that. The Rams have great chemistry. The Rams play really well. They're very good at the wide receiver. Now, there's some depth stuff here, right? Mm-hmm. Tutu Atwell's gone for the season. DeSean Jackson was released.
Yep.
You've got your three guys. You've got Kupp, Woods, and Jefferson. Those are your three guys. They could use some depth. They added some guys to the practice squad. We'll see that Skoranek, he's on there as well. But I do not need another guy who feels like he needs to be the center of attention. And he can tell me he doesn't need it, but his actions say he does.
Well, why don't you go hit back Von Miller and tell him that, okay?
Tell
Von Miller when you see him on Sunday.
To his opinion, I just deeply disagree with that. I just do not see it at all. I think the Rams are going to be absolutely fantastic on Sunday. If Von Miller, let's say he's 90% of the best version of Von Miller we've seen. And he's kind of 90%
of
that.
I don't think he needs to be 90%.
Maybe not. Mm-hmm. But if he's just really good, he doesn't need to be, you know, defensive player of the year level good.
Sure.
But just good. We've gone from one of the best teams in the league to the best team in the league.
Okay.
With
so
just that guy.
This is what I think is going to be exciting about the Rams moving forward. They now got some stiff competition. They're going to play a lot better teams. The last 3 weeks have been arguably three of the, you know, the bottom feeders of maybe take Giants off that list. They're decent. But they're below, you know, they're below average.
They've won two games.
I say that because it's really kind of tough to gauge these last 3 weeks. We know the Rams are good. Nobody's questioning that. We know there are a very small handful of teams that can represent the NFC, at least to this point. And kind of the same thing in the AFC. It's a little bit more open in the AFC. But this, you're going to start finding these next 3 weeks. You got the Titans, yes, without Derrick Henry, but it's a nationally televised game. You say the 49ers were after that.
Yep.
Always gives the, you know, the Rams some difficulty.
A bad matchup for them.
And then
bye, and then Packers.
And then the Packers. So you're going to have some matchups here that you're going to start seeing, okay, is this Rams team kind of separated themselves from the pack, or are they still got a little ways to go?
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Here's my concern with the Rams. There's one part of this team that I look at and say, that's not championship good enough. It's not the defense. It's not the offense. It's not the quarterback. It's not the wide receivers. It's not the ability to get to
special
the quarterback.
Teams?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, how often in the playoffs, Al, do we see one of these games turn on a special teams play? Constantly. Mm-hmm. In the last 2 weeks, the Rams have given up two fake punts and let the other team recover two different onside kicks. The Rams' return game, both on kick and punt, is non-existent.
Didn't I tell you, I said, if we can get through, if I can use one term at any part of the show, then it was a good show. It was a fugazi. Don't pay attention to some of that special team stuff.
12:38, you needed to wait.
This is the only reason why I say that. These teams are desperate. They're doing things that normal teams are not going to do. I know what you're saying. You have concern because when you have a big lead and teams are desperate and they're winless or whatever the case is, they're just going to do things that other teams won't do. I get the put your alarm on because they had some of those moments, but when I say it's a fugazi, as in as the season progresses, I don't think Tennessee or I don't think the Packers, I don't think these other teams are going to be kind of these random college football plays. Desperation.
I hope you're right, but here's where I keep going back to that. I would buy that with one big fat exception.
Okay.
After the Lions game, where the Lions converted two fake punts and recovered an onside kick, Sean McVay was asked after the game, did they just catch you flat-footed?
No, he said they were prepared.
He said, no, we knew they were coming.
I was like, Sean, abort mission.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, I thought he put Joe DeCamillis, their special teams coach, kind of unnoticed.
Yeah.
That was a, hey, no, we knew they were coming. We just didn't do it right. It's a problem. When the Rams were bad, okay, this is weird. When the Rams were bad, their special teams were extraordinary. Mm. They were blocking punts and kicks and long returns, and Greg Zuerlein's kicking 55-yard field goals, and Johnny Hecker is, he's throwing passes, he's booming giant punts. But as they've gotten better, their depth and all of these other things where your special teams guys go, and this goes back to what we're talking about with draft picks. This goes back to them getting rid of who plays special teams? Your backups. Mm. Rams backups gave up three touchdowns to the Houston Texans in one quarter. I don't know if it's we were caught asleep. I think it's more of a, we can't stop these plays.
Who's atop the AFC West by the time we get to the weekend, all right? So the Raiders are playing at New York,
mm-hmm.
and the Chargers got, what did we say, Philly? They're at Philadelphia.
Kansas City's got the Packers.
But atop the AFC, they're talking
actual standings, not like feelings.
5-2 are the Raiders.
Uh-huh.
4-3 are the Chargers. Are they tied? Are the Raiders still atop? What do you think happens?
They're going to be exactly where they are right now because I think they're both going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Giants are a team that is. The Giants are good at kind of beating themselves at the last moment, finding a way to do it. The Raiders. The Raiders are kind of a wild card because of everything that's gone on with the Raiders this week as well. I think the Chargers are going to smoke Philly. I really do. Partly because of what you talked me into, and partly just they kind of have to.
Mm-hmm. Smoke, I don't know if they'll smoke, but they'll win.
Philly sucks.
Yeah, they'll win.
They've beaten the Lions, like the Jags, and one other really meat, and Carolina. They're not
a
good team.
Just as you start taking the attention off the Chargers, they'll win this game. They will. That's what they do.
It'll be close. The Chargers aren't going to do anything. I'll play the game with you along the way. The dump coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. I need the Lakers to go into Portland on Saturday night.
Done.
Win the game. I don't even know if it has to be comfortable. Let's win the game. Let's make one of those game-ending shots. Let's be the team that maybe comes back from.
How about
four-point
win at Portland? Kind of calm the waters a little bit. And then we're going to have some really good matchups next week at Staples Center.
That would be nice. We need a palate cleanser. You know, sometimes they'll bring you the little sorbet before you go to the next course. I always like that. That's always pretty good. But we need one of those. I need Portland to be the lemon sorbet of the Lakers season.
I usually go like a shrimp, and then I'm like, yeah, bring me steak.
Bring me an onion roll. Let me clean this palate up with a blue awesome blossom.
Give me an onion roll. Do you do that, by the way, when you're at we brought Olive Garden up earlier, so let's do it. With, you know how they bring the unlimited salad and breadsticks. Yes. Do you not even say anything with the way? Like, do you do one of these?
Just run it back.
Yeah, like, it's same. What did I say?
Reset the 24-second clock.
The reset the 24, or they're going to review in the NBA. So the referee puts one finger up and just kind of puts his hand around. I could see you. She's on the other side. You look at her and you just go like this. And she knows, get breadsticks. Trav wants more breadsticks.
So the bread at a restaurant is interesting. If it's well, if the bread's really good and warm, I'm going to murder a basket of bread. But if it's kind of like those sticks or it's a little bit stale or the butter's all jacked up,
but it's also, it's you got to be careful with the bread. That's the problem with the bread.
Speak for yourself.
When it's really, really good and you have 30 minutes until your entree comes out, by the time my entree comes out, it's like, God dang it. I'm still going to eat everything. I just don't feel good.
I'm just going to assume that this is true. I've never experienced this phenomenon that you're talking about. It didn't.
Sir, we brought you four bread baskets. Please.
Hey,
please.
What does unlimited mean in your house?
See that older couple over there? They didn't get a bread basket. We're out of bread.
Sounds like an old people problem.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
You just look at that. It was delicious.
I love it. Let's try another phone call here on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. It is PJ in Los Angeles. PJ, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up?
Travis and Slee, thank you guys for taking my call. I really enjoy you guys' show every day.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
You guys, no problem. Speaking of, I mean, I wanted to talk about the Lakers, but you guys switched, you know, a lot of subjects. I don't know where to start, but I want to actually bring up the bread conversation. I don't know if you guys went to Cheesecake Factory and tried that brown bread. Have you guys tried that before?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Outback has something similar.
Amazing bread.
Yeah, it's
okay,
great.
Okay, but PJ, do you agree that you kind of got to, you know, portion yourself a little bit, control what's happening? Because by the time, because PJ, this is something I could see Trav is doing. I could see Trav having a couple trips with the waitress coming back, and we appreciate you calling in. We could have a couple trips of the bread coming in, the salad coming in, and then Trav saying, I'll just take a small bowl of soup. I'm done.
No. Put it this way.
You paid $9 for your Olive Garden meal.
If you and I are ever out
and
you hear me say to the waiter or the waitress, I'll take the small bowl of soup. You need to get to me to the hospital immediately. I'm having a stroke.
When we went through that stage where you were like eating a half burger?
Yeah, it wasn't great.
And everybody was like, yeah, it's just not the same track.
Yeah, no, I was having problems. My friends were looking at me. They were concerned that I was having like a health crisis or some sort of mental breakdown, and it's probably somewhere in between those things. It was not great along the way. Let's try one more here. Let's try Josh in Covina. Josh, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, Trav. Slee, what's going on? Appreciate you guys finally coming on the radio. I just want to touch on the Lakers. I don't really necessarily think there's no chemistry. I just think the scheme of things need to be approached differently. I think if you might have, you know, you start LeBron James at the five and then just put Anthony Davis on the four, you play small ball. And, I mean, the intangibles are there. I just think just this scheme is not. So, I mean, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think there's a bigger – there's more than just one thing. Like, I don't think, Trav, if tomorrow they start executing better and more screens are set and, you know, the more timeouts are called and they're doing stuff on the sidelines, that's – I don't know how much of it is strategic. I think there's a part of me that thinks the rotations are all over the place. I think a lot of guys don't really know what minutes they're going to play. And that's part of the beginning part of the season that they're figuring, whether it's Monk or – Avery Bradley, or go down the list of all these different guards, Kemp Bazemore that the Lakers have. Maybe that changes over time.
Yeah, it's not one thing. That to me is the most concerning part about this. If it were one thing, I really wouldn't be that worried. Yeah. It's a handful, maybe a couple of handfuls of things. Let's go to the dump. First of all, it's called squaw bread, that dark bread. The Outback has a version. Cheesecake has a version. A lot of nice restaurants have a version. So a little warm butter on that squaw bread, not a bad way to do it. Odell Beckham Jr.
Yep.
turns 29 years old today. You would want him on your team, wouldn't you?
If other big-time players want him on the team, yes. If Von Miller is saying, yep, bring him in here. And if some of the if Matt Stafford is coming out, so I'd love to have Odell Beckham on this team. If it's other star veteran players that want him on the team, yes.
Yeah.
But they got to give the – they have to be the ones that say, yes, we want him on this team.
He hasn't been a very good player for a while. It's not he's having a bad year or he's coming off of
If nobody else is coming out and saying they want him on the team, that's a different story.
Yep. All right. George Foreman knocked out unbeaten Michael Moore to win the World Heavyweight Championship in 1994. Yeah. That was George Foreman 2.0. That wasn't George Foreman who fought Ali, right? This was the – overweight, balding guy who everybody thought was a joke, yep. who actually ended up winning the heavyweight title again.
Bro, the only thing that matters when you talk Foreman, let's get that chicken in there.
Do you have one?
You know, I haven't had one in years, but
you
I
did.
Know. Oh, of course I did.
Yeah.
In college?
Yeah.
I thought I was literally the next chef. I'm like, no, I'm the guy. I mean, look at the grill marks on here.
You beat me to it. Look at the grill
marks.
Look at
the oil dripping down. I caught it in the tray.
How do people find the pods?
All right, ESPN app on iTunes. Just search the Travis and Sliwa Show. Get the full 3 hours from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
You're like Michael Scott cooking his foot on the Foreman grill. Mason in Ireland is coming up next. I see Ramona in the house. I'm assuming that she is in for one of the guys. So Ramona is here. It is Travis and Sliwa. We'll see you Monday morning, 9:55 on Travis and Sliwa.